By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. We're here tonight to talk about a pretty heated topic, Pastor. We have some things going on in the country. A lot of ill feelings, a lot of hard feelings, a lot of stuff going on that you listeners know about. You've been keeping up in the news, and we have been covering some current events lately, and we're going to cover a little bit more tonight and how it relates to the church as well. That's what we always do here. We bring it to the church and the forefront there and how it affects us and how it affects us in our daily lives. And this issue is no different. We're calling this one Monumental Problems. And that's a pun intended there. Pun intended there. We we have a problem in America, and it's not really revolving around monuments, Pastor, but it is revolving around some hate speech, some belief systems, some various parts of beliefs in people's lives, and we're going to cover a lot of that tonight. We have a couple different topics and a couple different ways that we could go with this, but we've narrowed it down to a couple five things here that I think are important for us to think about this week as we're coming off of this very, very news-heavy week of presidential news and monument news as things are being torn down. Pastor, I just want to kick things off, and I want to say first that I guess about the current events here. We know that there's some things being torn down. Every day it seems like a new monument's being torn down in America. I recently saw that Christopher Columbus's statue was being torn down. I can't tell you why, but it's being torn down. Abraham Lincoln's monument was, or one of his busts in a museum was defaced, literally. And we've got a lot of things. I guess most notably, a lot of the Confederate statues, Robert E. Lee, things of this nature, back in the forefront. We have riots last week and protests and things like that. So all of our listeners are probably aware of all of these things. But I thought it would be a good time to talk about, first off, that there seems to be a misappropriation, a misconception that white Christianity, whatever that is, it seems like that term comes up, white evangelicals, white Christians, and we seem to be kind of targeted with intolerance. Now, I just want to talk about that for a little bit and how that fits into the kingdom of Christ.
Wow. Well, first up, let me say this right here, Nathan. That, and I think I speak for both of us, we are absolutely and adamantly opposed to white supremacists and white supremacy.
Absolutely.
The KKK and the neo-Nazis. It has no place whatsoever in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we just want to establish that from the very get-go.
Absolutely.
I could not be more against that than what I am. I don't know how I would be more against it.
I have a feeling that no matter what we say, it's not enough, though. That seems to be the...
Never enough.
But to echo you, absolutely denounce any type of feelings like that.
Yeah, completely. But, you know, with that being said, I think it's somewhat... probably juvenile isn't the correct word, but the thing of... to think that if we can go around and deface, destroy, eradicate, remove all the monuments that supposedly offend us. Nathan, if I went to Russia, and saw a monument of Joseph Stalin or Lenin, I would say something like, wow, that's what that man really looked like. But it wouldn't offend me. If right. I went to a Great Britain and saw a statue of Karl Marx, I wouldn't say, oh, I want to throw paint on him. Look at all the harm that he's done, you know, the father of all the communist dissent. I just said, wow, that's what Karl Marx looked like, you know?
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that I would, oh, I'm offended. I'm offended. What does that mean, I'm offended by what they stood for?
I mean, I've been to the Smithsonian. I've seen statues. I've seen busts. I've seen a lot of things. And I've seen statues of Darwin. I've never once thought, hey, I'm just going to, you know, take a baseball bat and knock the head off of that statue. It doesn't, you know, affect me that way. What that man stood for and what he's done to the school system and colleges around this country and the world, I don't have any ill feelings towards that. And I know that's a little bit of a different subject. We're talking about beliefs but, you know, I mean, in a way, I guess that this neo-Nazi, this white supremacist movement has their own beliefs, and for worse, definitely, you can't even say for better or worse, it is associated with Christians in some way, shape, or form for whatever reason, but that's definitely a detriment on that side of things. But you know, there's a lot going on in the South, in the North, and out west, everywhere in this country, but particularly in the South. I think you hit the nail on the head Sunday when you were preaching, and you can access those sermons online as well. The idea that some people probably still harbor some racial feelings here in the South, I mean, you can't ignore it. It happens. You hear it in comments. And I echo what you said in your sermon that I think you probably need to approach God and get, you know, right with Him, whatever that means for you, but to acknowledge the fact that you can't hate your brother and be called a Christian.
You know, Nathan, I completely agree with you, and while I don't think it's right to go around and deface and destroy monuments that have historical basis in our nation, I made it plain to our men's meeting the other evening. I do not intend in our church to fight Robert E. Lee. You know? I'm just not. That's not what I'm about. That's not what our church is called to.
Right.
But we're called to preach the gospel. We're called to glorify God in heaven above. But I just think this is really somewhat childish. It's very intolerant from a side that was supposed to be all about tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but anyway, yeah.
The thing that I guess grips me about all of this and what kind of spurned my thinking on it was that we kind of have some, it's not only that, it's not only just racism, we have some more monuments, if you'll allow me that analogy there, to tear down in this country. And one of them is what we just talked about, is racism. Racism is... It seems the most divided I've ever seen it, and you've lived through some years that I haven't, but I don't remember tensions being like this. Maybe I was pretty young during like the Rodney King, you know, incidents and things like that. I don't remember how that was, but it seems at an all time high for me. All of these tensions and all of these riots, and I don't remember any protests like this happening in my lifetime. At least to this kind of degree, and maybe it's just because I'm older and I notice these things. But it seems like tensions are at an all-time high, and I think as the church, we have to address it. We have to say, listen, I mean, God saves. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. He saves every color of skin, every type of person, and there's no partiality with God.
Absolutely, you and Nathan. I don't want to see color. I'm not interested in that right there.
We're just people. Couldn't.
We're all created in the image of God. And is it not rather irrelevant? You know, one's color, the amount of melatonin one's skin you know, has in it. You know, but I believe on part of this, Nathan, there are some underlying motivations. You know, I believe there are some philosophies that are being used. They're saying racism. They're saying, you know, all these types of things. But I believe underneath there are some other things going on. You know, I think there's motivations maybe from some college professors, things that have been taught on that level right there. Let's talk about some things that's caused some problems. They would be quick to say there's problems with the policing system and the prison system.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Okay. We're not denying that, are we?
No.
But to say that all police are bad or evil, that is evil in itself. That is wrong. I mean, you can't just paint everyone with the same brush. Are there anomalies? Are there incidents? Are there individuals? Well, we don't dispute that right there. And those individuals need to be dealt with.
Are there abuses? Yes. To me, it's kind of like the medical field. There's abuses in the medical field, too. And I think it would... I mean to bring it to an analogy in this way, that those are hard jobs. That field, I couldn't do a medical type job. That's why I'm not in that field. And you have that garners a certain amount of respect, I believe, that those people are doing a hard job, seeing hard things. And you have to respect the police and law enforcement in that same manner. It's like, yeah, there's some abuses here and there. But these people are in positions that we don't want to be in daily circumstances. They're doing things that are highly dangerous, and not giving them the due respect there for what they provide safety-wise. And listen, I respect it a lot moving into a city and seeing a lot more police activity around my house. It makes me feel safer. It makes me feel more respectful to them because they're out all hours of the night and protecting the community. And that's something that we have to, you know, respect. And no matter Christian or non-Christian, I think you have to look at that and say these people are out risking their lives and seeing a lot of hard things for our benefit and doing it, you know, for the sake of the people in
you know,
most senses.
We're talking about professions that are fully integrated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the police forces around the station are fully integrated.
Right.
You know, and you know, as are fire departments and EMS squads and things of this nature here, and so it's just not right to do that.
Well, I want to come back to a little bit of the revisionist, I guess we could call it, type approach. I want to call it a different thing here in a minute, but you mentioned colleges and schools. That's the next thing I think that needs to be a monument, a type of problem in this analogy, that the systematic taking of God out of school, elementary schools and high schools, is a big problem in America. I'm sure you would agree there.
Absolutely. That offends me, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's being said, now there's no question about that. It's very tragic, and we are seeing now the results of this. This is something that began probably in the mid to late 50s, obviously, you know, came to a head pretty much in the 60s with removing prayer from the school, removing Bible reading from the school. And it's not stopped, Nathan. They want almost every mention of God removed from the school. I understand now that teachers and coaches, they've not been able to strip the religious rights away from students.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage all students to exercise those rights in their school systems. But my understanding is on the public sector, on the high school sector, that teachers are not to be participants. They are to stand. If prayer's going on, they're not even to bow their heads. And I think that is tragic. Look, are seeing the results of that, Nathan, in the loss, the absolute loss of the moral base in this nation. Why don't you touch on that?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up about the students' right to pray. I have this story here. It's from Fox News and Opinion. Before anyone says, oh, it's Fox News, I mean, I just don't know who else is going to be reporting on it. So it's a reputable source, whether you agree with their politics or not. And it's one of those things that I don't know who else is covering it. This is from June 13th of this year. and it's from a school, Beaver High School, and they told a girl for a graduating class, Mariah Bridges, that she was not to pray in the name of Jesus at this graduation. She had things in her prayer like, make us selfless, make us just, make us successful people, but more than that, make us good people. That was determined to be unlawful. And she wanted to pray in Jesus' name, not permitted to do so. And
Mason, how can it be unlawful to ask God to make us good people?
You tell me.
Was that not one of the basis of a good sound civilization?
You know, she crafted this prayer here that mentioned Heavenly Father and Lord. She continues, Lord, surround us with your grace and favor everywhere we go. Soften our hearts to teach us love and compassion, to show mercy and grace to others the way that you showed mercy and grace to us, even the ultimate sacrifice. Help us love our brothers and sisters deeply. Lead us to bless them. And
that sounds very conciliatory to me.
It is.
To try to help bring the racial...
It does it not? And it's interesting they don't want that. I have a feeling they had a problem with the ultimate sacrifice idea there. They don't want the idea of a savior. They don't want the idea of any type of moral absolute in their school or anyone to hear that. And I don't know what else to say about it. It's something that's a problem that we can't pray in. And it's refused in that aspect of this girl's life. She's denied a prayer for her graduation ceremony, and a pretty benign prayer. I would say it wasn't like she was preaching a sermon or anything. It was a blessing. It was a prayer of blessing.
It's like a good prayer to me.
It was a very fantastically written prayer. And I don't know. She was muzzled, restrained by the school. you can't do that. And I happen to be in the idea that this is ruining our future generations.
Nathan, I was raised in a generation. We had a very fine principal in our high school, Henry Lathan. And we could actually go to the office and get on the intercom and have prayer at the school. And I think it made an impact because as you look back at the late 60s, there's where you had some of the racial unrest, especially from the West Coast, you know. And this is what we need. The real resolution of this is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And for his followers to practice what he has taught us, to practice true Christianity, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. It's one of those things that we've taken it out and we've done away with it, and it's affecting our kids. It's affecting our college students. And that's another monumental problem that I see in America's atheism in colleges. I have some stats here from Pew Research, and this is troubling to me. And this is surveying an atheist population, but 68% of the atheists in America, at least from this survey and what credence you can give those, 68% are men, and the median age for atheist adults in the U.S. is 34. I'm going to be 32 here shortly, and that's very concerning. Mm-hmm. And you know, as a pastor, I've given this, I don't have the stat right in front of me, but the least populated group in churches in America are 18 to like 35-year-old white males. That's a problem, and there's a reason for that. It goes on to talk about college students, and most of them are white. Most of them are that are identify as atheist in college. They're a Caucasian. There's a trend, and if we want to talk about race and race problems, that's a race problem that we've got. We've got a problem with a generation of men who do not believe in an ultimate source for life, good, just. It's a problem that we're facing.
You know, some have said in the past that if you tell a lie long enough, that, you know, you begin to believe it. And so evidently, as concerning revisionism in relation to our Constitution, in relation to our history, I guess some people think, well, if we take the monuments down and if we teach our students this never happened, it didn't happen. But that's really a fable. It did happen. There was a Civil War. It was horrible. It was a very tragic thing. There was a Revolutionary War. There was a Christopher Columbus. Yes, were Native Americans mistreated? Oh, I don't dispute that. I don't doubt that. But the thing about it is, that is part of our history. That's part of our nation. Are we going to just take it away? Were Japanese Americans mistreated?
And where is that? Where is that argument? Maybe one of the most egregious parts of racism was the Native American people. Absolutely. I mean, where are the apologists for that? I don't hear that very much at all. You don't see that very often. And you know, they suffered. And you know, I mean, and I guess maybe that's what the Columbus thing was about. I don't know. I really.
And you know, Nathan, I think that our nation has recognized, yes, we did some things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we, I speak of that as an American.
Right.
But we weren't living then.
No.
You know, you have to go back into those days. Was slavery wrong? Well, absolutely it's wrong. But slavery has been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not been an issue that involved only the black people groups.
No.
It has involved probably all types of people groups. And you think about the Roman Empire, and whom they made slaves. There was a time period when they would align one of the main roads coming in and out of Jerusalem with Jewish men crucified.
How many times were the Jews, you know, enslaved? And you can think of several occasions just on the top of most people's, you know, cursory biblical knowledge. I mean, you have the Egyptians, you have the Babylonians, you have the Romans, you have. You know, types of maybe the Romans not as much slavery as you think about in Egypt, but still they're under that oppression and that thumb of a ruler. To your facts here, the article that I came across was a recent one in the past couple months. Was Condoleezza Rice, and she was talking about the sanitization of our monuments and our history, and that is a term that she used. And she echoed the same sentiment that we shouldn't tear these down. We shouldn't sanitize our history. She said, and I'm quoting, that Constitution originally counted my ancestors as 3/5 a man, she said. In 1952, my father had trouble registering to vote in Birmingham, Alabama. And then in 2005, I stood in the Ben Franklin room. I took an oath of office to that same Constitution, and it was administered by a Jewish woman Supreme Court justice. That's the story of America.
That is the story.
You know, we've come, I mean, we don't have a great, everything, I should say, that has come about has not come about in a great way. But that's our story.
And you know, we're talking about a nation. Did we make mistakes? Yes, we did. But this same nation elected a black gentleman, Mr. Obama,
mm-hmm.
as a president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Rice, as a Secretary of State,
mm-hmm.
one of the finest judges that sits on the Supreme Court today, Clarence Thomas,
mm-hmm.
A tremendous conservative, a great, and we're talking about, that's about as high as you get in our mm-hmm. nation in the political world. They've all achieved that. I think about a man right now, Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a more gentle, finer, very, very accomplished, intelligent gentleman than Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And he is being criticized and being maligned simply because he works in the administration of President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's not tolerant. That is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even truthful. That's not even honest, Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got a lot of problems to fix, but to expunge, to sanitize our history, I think is the wrong approach.
I
don't think you see many other countries doing that. I mean, if it's in some type of celebratory monument of some tyrant, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I can guarantee there's a lot of history in France that's not covered up a lot of history in Britain that's not covered up, and there's a lot of bad times there, but it's history, and we learn from it, we do better, and if anything...
I think you said something that's so important. We learn from it, and we do better.
Yeah, and if anything, I think Christianity has furthered that along.
I do.
To show that every man and woman are equal in God's eyes, and that they are precious, and their souls are, and that, like I said before, God has no partiality, and we shouldn't either.
I agree.
Well, that has been our discussion for this week. You can email us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com for any comments or questions, also on our Facebook page. For this episode, we thank you for listening, where the discussion is always outside the box, but inside the Word.